can't help but start out our time before we go to God's Word by just talking a little bit about the gospel and the fact that if today you are burdened with your sin, if you are weighed down with sin and the fact that you have walked away from God, that you have broken his laws, that you got to know that there is a Redeemer, there is a Savior, there is a God who sent his Son to die on a cross for your sin, so that you might have eternal life, so that you might be reconciled back to the Father and have the hope of glory of Jesus Christ. And if that's you today who needs that Redeemer, please call out to him today. And the Bible promises you will be saved. Repent and turn to Christ in faith. Don't waste a moment. Come to him, and may he draw you to him and to his goodness and to his glory. So, if you will, would you please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. We are going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we will return to Ephesians as we've been going through a series of Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 20. We will get back to that next week, and then eventually back to the Gospel of Mark. But I thought it would be helpful and apropos to go to 2 Corinthians, as I believe this will be a tremendous encouragement to all of you today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we are going to focus on verses 3 to 7, a very familiar passage, but one that needs to be expounded and pressed upon our hearts. Let's go ahead and read that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in your word and hear from your word today, may we recognize and believe and trust that the word presented to us today is not merely the word of men, but it is the word of God. And the word of God is able to transform, mold us, and to challenge us. And may your word do its work in our hearts today and in our minds. O Lord, guide us by the Holy Spirit. And help us to be hearers and doers of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When you hear the word comfort, as we did 10 times in this passage, what immediately comes to your mind? Perhaps you think about a comfortable chair or your comfortable bed. Maybe the word comfort food comes to your mind. Comfort zone, comfort in, words of comfort. Maybe you think of words related to the word comfort, such as warmth, consolation, relaxation maybe. How about a comfortable income, a comforting mother, emotional comfort, a bed comforter? Or much better than that, you think of the comforter, the Holy Spirit. Or maybe when you think of the word comfort, your mind goes directly to our passage today, which, like I said, the word comfort is used a whopping 10 times in 5 verses. In this sermon, I want you to reconsider that word, comfort, and the meaning of comfort in a different, more biblically centered way than you might usually think of the word comfort. I especially want you to rethink God's purpose for you as what we see here that Paul is writing in your sufferings, afflictions, and trials. I want you to think about the God of all comfort, the one who comforts you so that you will be able to comfort others. Maybe you never thought of God's comfort for you in your own trials, in your own sufferings and afflictions, as having a purpose outside of your own life and outside of your own circumstances. Most of you, as we all do when we go through suffering, wonder why we go through suffering, why we undergo afflictions of various sorts, of various kinds. In fact, some of you are going through suffering right now, a trial right now, that maybe to you might seem pointless, might feel excruciating, might seem unending. And excruciating your suffering and afflictions might be. But you must know that your pain, that your suffering, that your affliction is not pointless. Not according to our passage today. There is purpose in our suffering as believers of Jesus Christ. There is a reason also for comfort as those who are in Jesus Christ. Our passage in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 7, teach us that we are comforted by God in all our afflictions, so that, and this is the big idea here, so that in any afflictions that we might go through and in any comfort that we might receive from God, we can take that comfort and pass that comfort on to others who are going through any affliction they might be going through. Again, to emphasize and highlight, the word comfort in this short passage is used how many times? 10 times in 5 verses. It must be important, no? Must be important. So may our concept, I want our concept, our understanding of God's comfort to be radically shaped and changed today as we study in this passage three particulars of comfort. Three particulars of comfort. As the Apostle Paul, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, shows us the grand purpose of God's comfort for you and me in our afflictions. Three purposes, three particulars of comfort, of God's comfort for you and me as we go through afflictions. As you notice, the title of this sermon is Comforted by God in Order to Comfort Others. And so our first particular that we want to look at, three of them, the person of comfort, the purpose of comfort, and the pattern of comfort. Let's first look at the person of comfort in verse 3. The person of comfort. First, we have to know from where our comfort comes. Where does our comfort come? What is the origin? What or who is the source of comfort? And what exactly is comfort? And what does it mean according to our passage? We just went through that whole slew of possible meanings for the word comfort, but we got to narrow in on what comfort means here in verse 3 and the rest of the verses. Now, the Corinthians, as there are two letters written to them by Paul, and each letter contains a plethora of doctrines and points that Paul wants them to understand, they, and especially the Apostle Paul, have been enduring
significant and many sufferings, many trials and challenges as a church. And not only, as you see in verse 1 of chapter 1, not only was Paul writing to the church of God, which is at Corinth, but he was addressing all the saints who are throughout Achaia. So the audience was broad here, and the audience extends to us as well. These Christians had a myriad internal difficulties as a church. As you can see, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 1 through 16, you can see that there were many, many issues and trials that they went through. And to a lesser degree, the Corinthians shared some of the same sufferings, some of the same afflictions, some of the same persecutions that Paul experienced as a result of being a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. And of course, as people who live in a fallen, broken, cursed world, they experience many sorrows and grief, as you and I all do. It's part of being human. It's a part of living in this dark world. It's part of living in broken and sinful flesh. And it's especially true of Christians living in a world that is opposed to the gospel. But as you see in verse 3, Paul can't help but to do what? As he often does at the beginning of his letters. He erupts into praise and worship and gratitude to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Notice how Paul talks about God in this verse. It is God the Father who is the Father of mercies, and he is the God of all comfort. Who is the person of comfort? God himself is the person and the source of mercy and comfort. He is the source of mercy and comfort. Not only does he dispense mercy, not only does he grant comfort, but these mercies and the comfort from him are who he is in his very being. And for that, he deserves our worship and gratitude and praise and thanksgiving. It's for that reason we must go to him in all of our afflictions. Why must we go to him? Why must he be the one of whom we find the source of comfort and mercy? Well, first, let's look at the first part of verse 3. Paul says that God is the Father of what? Mercies. This means that God looks upon you in Christ with compassion, with pity, and he is one who helps you. He helps you in your time of need, in your time of need as a loving, caring, benevolent Father. He is a compassionate God to those whom he has saved, to his children who have been saved by grace. Notice that the word mercies in verse 3 is what? In plural. It's not just he is a God of mercy. I love this. He is a God of mercies. His mercies are heaped on you. I think of it like being under a waterfall, that the water just keeps pouring and rushing over you unending, unceasingly. It's a river of mercy, God's mercy, that never, ever runs dry. And the fact of the matter is, because you are in Christ, the Father of mercies is your loving, compassionate, kind Father. Never forget that. His mercies are your mercies to freely receive because of and only because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you. He is not just God the Father. He is God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how many times you go through trials, afflictions, and sufferings, and you will go through trials, afflictions, and sufferings. When Tom up here started talking about going down that rocky road and that we all go through it, I thought, well, he's just going to preach my sermon. Great. But we all go through that. And in every trial, in every affliction, in every suffering, his mercies never run out. His mercy just keeps coming and coming to your aid. I was thinking about this. When you're going to the car wash, and there's just a line of cars, every time that car enters the car wash, there's enough water for every single car. When you go through any affliction and every affliction, there is enough of God's mercy to keep cleansing you, washing you, helping you, assisting you, encouraging you, and getting you back up on your feet. His mercy just keeps coming and coming. But that some of that might seem a little abstract. How do we understand and see that God the Father is the God of mercies? There is only one way. The cross. You must look at the cross of Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. Jesus is the representative. He is the one who is God. And when you look at him, when you see him, especially on the cross, you can see that his mercy, God's mercy, was supremely demonstrated at the cross, where God the Father sent his Son to die on the cross as Jesus took your sin and my sin and our judgment from God upon himself. That is the greatest act and greatest demonstration of God's mercy. The Father sent his beloved Son to die for you and me, us vile, wretched, hell-worthy sinners and enemies of God who were once separated from him, but now because of Christ are brought near. Now listen, if God did that for you in his Son, in Christ, then how much more will he sustain you by and through his infinite mercies and compassion upon your entire life, and especially in all of your afflictions? How much more will he comfort you when you need it the most? He is the Father of mercies. But not only that, look at the second part of verse 3. He is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. And here is that key word, comfort. And that word comfort takes on a whole new meaning from this passage. It really takes on the best meaning. Paul wants to remind the Corinthians, and he wants to draw them in to the only one who not only provides comfort, but is the one who is the source of comfort. God is the wellspring of comfort. He is the one who is and who has sufficient, unending comfort for you in every single one of your afflictions. And that is where you need to be brought to today. And you do. We all do. Especially when you go through the hot, fiery, painful, uncomfortable crucible of sufferings and trials, pains and affliction, sickness, persecution, and even the prospect of death. You need God's comfort when the weight of life is just too agonizing to bear. You need to come to the divine river of always flowing comfort found in God, the God of all comfort. Now, this word for comfort, as we saw in the introduction, can conjure up many ideas, right? But what does it mean here? Especially in our American culture, where comfort is supreme, We just want to be comfortable. We want to live a comfortable life. But what does comfort exactly mean in verse 3 and the rest of the verses? Does it mean what many think it might mean? Just ease and relaxation? Does it mean that God gives us a life of zero troubles and zero suffering? Does it mean living in an air-conditioned home, driving a sporty car, which I saw a lot of in California? Does it mean having lots of money, which I saw a lot of in California? Does it mean going on multiple vacations a year? Is this the kind of comfort that Paul is speaking of here? Is this the kind of comfort that you see when you turn on the TV and the health, wealth, prosperity, gospel preachers, gospel in quotes, are promising you that will be heaped upon you if you just send them $100? Is that the kind of comfort Paul is talking about? I don't think so. I don't think so. Here's the paradigm shift here. God is himself comfort. He is our comfort. That word comfort means to be by the side of another, to relieve and support, to give solace, to offer consolation, and to give encouragement. This is who our God is. This is what our God does. He is the one who is the God of all comfort. Paul wants to bring that to the Corinthians' minds. And he not only is the God of all comfort, but he grants us comfort. Through the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, which also entails comfort, John 14:16, God comes alongside you and he carries you through your pain and he lifts your burdens. He upholds you so that through your trials, through your suffering, you don't get too weary of the strenuous journey. He comforts you by drawing you to his word and speaks to you through his wonderful word. He puts people in your life, as we'll see in a moment, to bring comfort to you. God himself is your comfort. Now notice this. I love how Paul doesn't just simply say that he is the God of comfort. He is the God of comfort. But notice that little word before comfort. He is the God of what? All comfort. In your Bible, just imagine that in bold, underlined, highlighted with an exclamation point. Your God is a God of all comfort. God's comfort is gloriously sufficient and adequate and entirely perfect for you. In every situation, in every affliction that you are in, why? Why can God's comfort be all-encompassing? It's because God is eternal. God is infinite. And his divine resources never run out. His wisdom, his guidance is always there for you. Now, I suspect, and I say this pastorally speaking, that most of you, when you find yourselves in the middle of these heated trials and difficulties, you try to find comfort in anywhere else, in anything else but in God. And I can say this with confidence, because regrettably, I at times try to find comfort in anything else but in God. Have you been there? Think about it. We all have places, we all have our happy and safe places that we go to attempt to alleviate our pain, to distract us from our trials and sufferings. Some of us try to find comfort and amuse ourselves to death by sitting in front of a TV for hours, watching YouTube, Netflix, sports, the news, whatever it is that can numb our mind and our heart to the trial we are in. Others of us engage in pleasurable sins, whatever that might be for you, thinking that will ease our pain, finding out later on that those sins don't offer or promise any good thing but only bring more trouble. Some of you might overeat. Food might be your comfort. Or you go to a shopping store and get out that credit card and say, this is going to be my comfort. We might go to a person, just anyone, even if they're not a believer. We just want anyone to give us some kind of consolation. Just help me. Help me, we say. Help me get out of this. Sadly, some people, hopefully not anyone here, but might have been tempted, or this might have been you. Some people might go to drugs and alcohol or pornography or anything that might numb the pain of life and make things more bearable. I've seen that all too much. I've experienced that all too much. Maybe some days you just don't want to get out of bed. And you think that just sleeping your woes away is the answer. And the worst case scenario is instead of going to the God of all comfort, someone takes their life, commits suicide. There are many ways, there are many vices and places we go to find comfort, crying out, just give me comfort. Give me comfort. Any comfort just to get me through this pain. I want to hear a voice of comfort. I want this situation to take care of my comfort. On the way back here on Thursday, when we got onto the airplane to fly from Burbank to Dallas, Texas, on the first leg of our journey, Naomi was with me, and we got onto the plane, and we got to talk with the flight attendants and the pilot, the captain. Super nice guy, super friendly, super calm. And he saw Naomi, and he said, would you like to go into the cockpit? And I said, well, I don't know about Naomi, but I would like to. That's a benefit of having a little kid, if you like airplanes as I do. If any of you know me, you know that I love airplanes. But we got into the cockpit looking around, amazed by all the buttons and everything in there. I love that. Naomi got to sit on the captain's seat, and he was mingling with us and talking with us and laughing and taking pictures of us. And he was just so calm. And they say that if you are a nervous flyer, and I'm not, I love flying, but if you are a nervous flyer, they say ask the captain if you can go into the cockpit before you fly, and seeing what they're doing up there and how calm he is will calm you, and it will give you comfort as you fly to your destination. And we took off, and we're sitting there, and there was a point in the journey when it started getting bumpy, and the turbulence started to ramp up. And about every 10 minutes, the pilot, that guy who we talked to, would come on to the speaker and say, look out your window while the plane is bumping, going along. Look at this river. Oh, we're going by this city. Oh, we're going by that place. And I can only imagine that hearing his voice, the captain, giving comfort to those through those turbulent moments in the flight. All that to say, God is your pilot. He is the source of comfort. He is the one that you have to hear when you go through afflictions, tribulations. He is the one that brings you comfort when you are worried and unable to go through these tough times. So why is it so often that you don't run to the source, the person, the God of all comfort? Why is God sometimes the last one we go to for comfort? Why do we run to the temporary and worldly things when we can cast ourselves on the eternal power, compassion, grace, peace, and mercy of God? If God saved you, he will comfort you. If Christ died for you, he will grant you mercy upon mercy. If God is your heavenly Father, his comfort is always there for you. Our triune God is your source of comfort. Amen? And anytime you are in a trial, you need to know that and draw and go to the God of all comfort. Now, Paul doesn't just stop here talking about the person of comfort. That's the starting point. And he doesn't just encourage individuals to go to God in their unique challenges as they depend on the Father of all comfort. He tells the Corinthians that there's a purpose for your afflictions and the comfort that you receive. There's a purpose. And that's our second particular here. Our second particular. Now we see the purpose of comfort. The purpose of comfort. And you will see that in verses 4 and verse 5. There's the person of comfort. But now, yes, there is a purpose in what you go through. There is a purpose in your afflictions. There is a purpose in the comfort that God grants to you. In verse 4, Paul uses gives us a reason. He provides a so that statement for why God comforts all of us in our affliction. Let's read that. He says in verse 4, he is the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our affliction. Listen, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Who here can attest to the fact that your afflictions can at times be grueling? They seem to go on forever and ever, and they won't ever let up. They're too much to bear. I remember my first 10 months in India when I went there as a missionary. It was grueling. It was tough. It was hard eating the same food every day. It was tough living in sweltering 100-degree humid heat every day. It was difficult being alone. But God got me through it, even though it was grueling and the afflictions were fierce. That word that Paul uses here for affliction in verse 4 literally means to crush. It means to press, to squeeze, to compress. It's the picture of an animal, a beast of burden, that is being crushed beneath a load that is just too heavy for him. It's the picture of a person having a heavy weight placed on his chest and being crushed to the point of death. Isn't that how we feel when we go through some of our trials? Like you're just being crushed to death? Like all of your own meager strength is being squeezed out of you, every last drop of it? And the weight is just too much for you to handle? This is how the Apostle Paul felt. Look at verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1. He says, we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Did you hear that? Paul had this extreme weight of burden and afflictions and trials so that he and the others would not what? Trust in ourselves, but in God. Here is one purpose of your afflictions: to make you realize that you have no innate, inherent strength of yourself in those afflictions. Trials humble us, right? Sure do. How many here have gone through fierce humbling in the moments of your trials and afflictions? See, your afflictions force you to trust less in yourself and more in God, who has the power to raise the dead. And notice, God comforts us. Here's another one of those words: in all our afflictions. Not just in some. Not in just this one or that one. What is the word, friends? All. All of your afflictions, not just some, but all. See, when you're lying there in your bed, weeping and crying, thinking, God can do no more to get me through this, When you think you've exhausted God's comfort, think again. In every one of Paul's trials, God comforted him. See, God's comfort is sufficient for every single affliction you endure. I want you to remember that the next time you enter a trial. If you're not in a trial, if you're not suffering right now, if you haven't gone through the hard knocks of life, eventually you will. And when you do walk through that door, remember that God's comfort is all sufficient for all of your afflictions. But another primary purpose here in verses 4 and 5 that Paul gives us for our afflictions and the comfort that God gives us in our afflictions is what he says primarily in verse 4, so that you will be able to comfort others in any affliction with the comfort you received, you may pass that on to them. Now, when you go through afflictions and you get God's comfort and you go to God's comfort, do you ever think that you receive God's comfort and then should keep that comfort all to yourself? Do you ever wonder what you should do when you receive God's comfort in your afflictions? Here's the answer. The comfort you receive from God in your affliction is to be passed on to others. Wow, that's revolutionary. Whatever you're going through, you can grant God's comfort to others. Have you ever thought about your afflictions in that way? Have you? Have you ever thought there was a purpose in your sufferings and the comfort that you received from God? Let me say this clearly. This is hard to take in at times. But your trials, your afflictions, your suffering are not only for your good, are not only for your sanctification to grow in Christ-likeness. It's not just for your growth, but also for the good and edification and uplifting of others. The help and encouragement that you received from God in your suffering, you can give to others and not hold on to it in a stingy, stubborn way. The strength and grace God gave you in your suffering, you pass on to others to help carry them through their afflictions. You can testify of the grace that you received from God and the comfort to others. You can lift them up as they endure difficult times. Don't ever underestimate your words, your voice in someone else's life in the time of their affliction. Your experience, your hope should be shared with others. What you have learned from God's word, what God spoke to you through his holy word, you can give to others saying, hey, brother, hey, sister, let's go to this verse and let's see how God moved in my life through this verse and how it might be a benefit to you. Trials are not easy, right? But they are beneficial. They are, first of all, beneficial to bring glory to God. Next time you're suffering with a sickness, think, is this going to bring glory to God? They are beneficial because they grow you in Christ. They bless others as you comfort those with the comfort you received from God. I know many of you have spent long periods of time in the hospital with a sickness that you thought might end your life. You understand what it's like to go through that trial and how God has carried you through that uncertain time as you are laying there wondering, am I going to come out of this hospital? But the next time someone else, one of your brothers or sisters, ends up in the hospital, you know what? You're the best one they can talk to. And you can pass on the comfort that you receive from God to them and bless their lives. Think about other ways, other problems you've been through, marital problems. You've gone through marital problems. You're the best one to help someone else going through challenges in their marriage. Perhaps you've lost a loved one, a parent, a child, a brother, a sister. The next time someone loses their loved one, you can be right at their side to be a comfort to them, offering them the same comfort that you received from God. Whether someone has lost a job, whether someone is going through times of loneliness, whether someone is going through depression. One of my favorite books on depression is written by a guy out in California who experienced depression for many, many years. He was a pastor, he was a professor, and he almost took his life. But God brought him through that to the point that he wrote a book to offer to other Christians going through depression, encouraging them with the comfort that he received from God in his depression. And that book is blessing untold hundreds, if not thousands, of people. When you are going through trials, understand that one of God's purposes is for you to offer comfort to other people's situations. And finally, in verse 5 here, of the purpose of comfort in our sufferings is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ himself. Paul says, just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Jesus Christ. Paul goes on from any affliction that people suffer to the precise sufferings that believers in Paul especially experienced as followers of Christ. If you are in Christ, if you are seeking to live a godly life, you will go through various sufferings for the name of Christ. It's a part of being a disciple of Christ. And since they persecuted Jesus Christ, what did Jesus say in the Gospel of John? They will persecute you too. Jesus underwent significant suffering, more than you or I will ever know or experience, especially as our sin bearer, especially as the one who is our atonement, especially as the one who bore the full weight of God's wrath upon himself in our place. We will never experience that, thank God. But the mocking, the pejoratives, the physical suffering, the spite, the hatefulness, the jeering, the beating, living in a fallen world, all of this we will go through as followers of Christ. And because we have a God who understands what it means to go through these things, we have a God to look to for comfort, because as Christ went through innumerable sufferings, he has innumerable, sufficient comfort to comfort you when you are experiencing persecution for Christ. He understands. Do you get that, church? We have a God. We aren't deists, where God just created the world and then sits back on his throne, never to engage with us. We have a personal God who knows what you go through, who understands your temptations, and yet he never sinned. But he is the one who, upon you going to the throne of grace, lavishes you with his grace. Because of the multiple sufferings of Christ, you have multiple unending comfort in Christ. The more we suffer, the more God will comfort us. And the more God comforts us, the more we can comfort others. What a glorious plan of God. Might not seem like that to you as you're in your affliction. But think about this. He first allows us to suffer in order to humble us and to make us trust in him more and to give us his comfort. And then we can give that comfort he gave to us to others. And then we suffer for Christ, as Paul shared he did, so that we might receive the abundant comfort of Christ. And this is God's perfect plan, sovereign plan. And because of that, you can trust him and his purposes for you while you're going through your afflictions. Let me just say, again, do not ever underestimate the purposes of God in your sufferings and afflictions and the ample comfort that God gives you. Now, I want to go through this quickly because as we're contemplating the Word of God and his comfort and the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to be coming soon to the communion table where we can just relish in and remember and celebrate the only reason for why we have God's comfort. And that is because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, by shedding his blood for our sins. But in our final particular here of our sermon, Paul now provides the pattern of comforts, the pattern of comforts. First, we saw the person of comfort, which is God. Next, we saw the purpose of comfort, which is the comfort we receive from God, we give to others. Now we see a pattern of comfort. And Paul provides himself as a pattern of comfort in verses 6 to 7. Paul himself was severely afflicted as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Everywhere he went to preach the gospel, he found at his doorstep sufferings and afflictions. I don't have time to read them, but write them down, and you can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul gives a list of the sufferings and dangers and persecutions that he went through. If you think you're having a bad day, read this passage, 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. See, in all of Paul's sufferings, God comforted him and strengthened and sanctified him and kept him going. God, by his power and sufficient grace, caused Paul to press on to preach the gospel and do what God has called him to do. Paul did not throw himself a pity party. He didn't complain, and he did not have a victim mentality. Woe is me. No, another passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 7. How does Paul look at the afflictions that he went through? He's constantly giving the Corinthians an example to follow. And look at 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 7. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. He's talking about himself. So that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Verse 12. So death works in us, but life in you. Paul was telling the Corinthians as a pattern of comfort, as a pattern of one who suffered, that there was a sovereign purpose to it all in his light and momentary afflictions. And that should be your attitude and my attitude as well. When we suffer for Christ, when we go through the crucible of afflictions and pain and grief and sorrow and loss and depression and anxiety and hurt and sin, it goes on and on. When we go through every affliction, we can adopt this attitude, this principle taught here. And you can draw on the Holy Spirit, who is your comforter, who is your help in your time of need. Make sure, church, that as you go through your affliction next time, that it's never wasted. Paul makes it clear, we are all sharers of suffering. We are all sharers, verse 7, of comfort. We are all in this together. Look around at each other. You today might be a help to the person next to you, taking the comfort that you received and passing that on to others. So very quickly here, how can you and I pass this on and apply this as a church? Let me just give you four practical ways to do this. It's quite simple. And it summarizes what I was talking about. Number one, first of all, know for certain that you will go through afflictions. It's inevitable. It's not easy, but it will happen. We can't avoid them. Number two, know that your God is the God of mercies and God of all comfort. We must believe that, and we must hold tenaciously to that so that the truth might be living in us and that we run to God in our time of sufferings and knowing that there is a purpose in your sufferings. Number three, we must receive God's comfort and go to the source of all comfort. We need his grace to endure. We need his peace and contentment in trusting in his sovereign plan for your life. We need his mercies to sustain us. We need his word to give you wisdom. And we need his ironclad promises for our life. Run to God, who is the God of all comfort. And number four, when you receive his comfort, after you do that, pass that comfort on to others. The same comfort that you received from God. And you can give glory to God. You can be a blessing to someone else here at church or with anyone else you know by passing on God's comfort to them. God has many resources at his infinite disposal to comfort us, but his primary way is amazing. He uses you to comfort others. We are given God's comfort to comfort others. Isn't that an amazing truth to hold on to today? Especially as we go to the Lord's Supper and are reminded of the unending, infinite blessings that we have in our Lord and because of our Lord, Jesus Christ.